Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to another episode of Bucher and Hollins, subsidiary of Bucher and Friends, part of the United WeCast Network. I'm Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1, read me on Bleacher Report, hear me on radio.com, and follow me on Twitter at Rick Bucher and on Instagram at Rick_Bucher. He's Ryan Hollins, NBA vet. You can see him on a number of platforms. You can follow him on Twitter at the Ryan Hollins and on Instagram at simply Ryan Hollins. All right. So I had this premonition. I don't know what it was. I didn't have a reason to go to the Warriors-Suns game, but I felt compelled to go.
Something told you.
Something told me I needed to go. And I live in the Bay Area. The weather right now is spectacular. This is the beauty of living in the Bay Area. We get summer. We get the normal summer, and then we get a second summer. Our September,
but your
October,
summer, you guys are hitting 90, maybe flirting with 100, because that weather's not getting you too bad, no?
No. It's fantastic. In fact, the summers actually are a little cooler. Our best time of year is September, October. It is gorgeous here right now. And so I was like, I don't have a reason. I don't have a specific reason to go. But I just felt like I needed to go. So I went. And lo and behold, Warriors get absolutely destroyed by the Suns. By the Suns. The Phoenix Suns. And Steph Curry breaks his hand. Inadvertently. Aaron Baines landing on him. Etc. etc. So I was looking forward to doing this podcast. Felt like if we weren't doing a podcast anyway, we didn't need to do an emergency podcast, because there are so many different aspects to this, Ryan. And I don't know where you want to start, but I want to start here. How does Steph's injury change things for you as far as the Warriors this season?
It's the biggest blessing in disguise. The biggest one, because I was going to, and I'm sure more people, was going to be very critical of Steph Curry, of his legacy, of where he stood on his own two feet, of who he was. If he had to go through the season and they were losing around him. Right. We've undervalued LeBron James so much for what he's done, what he's gone through in Cleveland, what he went through, even we'll say last year with the Lakers. Very critical. I still cannot believe my eyes, my ears, and everything I've known that James Harden's accomplishments last year were overlooked. I like Giannis. I don't want to beat the MVP debate into the ground. You know how I feel. I know how you feel, Rick. But there's something about being able to do it on your own that became a knock on Steph Curry. See, Steph Curry is the ultimate team player because he draws two people. He moves the basketball. He puts so much pressure on your defense. But when you don't have pieces around him,
right,
you see what's going on.
Right.
And Rick, maybe you're more of an insider to this. Is it that these pieces are so bad around him he can't do much with? Or is this Curry just wasn't very good?
It is the former, not the latter. When you said blessing in disguise, I didn't know you were going to go the direction of that this is a blessing in disguise specifically for Steph Curry and that he's not going to be exposed. And I've always known what he was as a superstar. I've always said he's a very unique superstar. Can he dominate in the same way that a LeBron James can? No. There's a physical difference between these two guys. And I know that we had Allen Iverson and what he did. And so the undersized guard can certainly dominate. And I believe that in the way that Allen did, I mean, look, Allen never won a championship. He did get to the finals. They constructed a team perfectly built for him to be able to do that with the perfect coach to do it. But no, I'm not. This is not for me a referendum on Steph, because I always considered his superstardom to be a lot of intangible things, not just a pure basketball. It's the way he brings guys together. It's the way he makes room for other stars, a Klay Thompson, KD, etc.
Let me correct.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it's a shot on Steph Curry. I say this saves him from us really digging into that conversation.
Yeah, no,
and it being glaring.
Whether it be fair or not. Yes, he would have received a lot of criticism and a lot of questions about, did we overvalue him? I mean, it's really funny. I'm sure people would have looked in retrospect and said, is he really a two-time MVP? As if who he is now somehow discounts what he was then. But there's also, we would never know what Steph's able to do with this team.
Rick,
it's a really bad team.
I want you to get direct, and we're going to talk Bob Myers also. We're going to have to hold Bob Myers, great guy,
yep.
Bruin,
yep.
my guy, into account.
We can throw Steve Kerr into this too. Everybody's going to be assessed now.
But more so being a general manager and say, you had three All-Stars, two Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
How are you this bad? What did you put around them?
Well,
why is Willie Cauley-Stein your only center on roster?
No, it's more than that. It's actually more than that. Because if you look at who drafted Steph, who drafted Klay, who drafted Draymond, these are not Bob Myers guys. Andre Iguodala was the last major acquisition. Mark Jackson was the reason that Andre Iguodala came to the Warriors. I mean, obviously it was the talent that they already had there. But you look at Bob Myers did a nice job of picking up ancillary pieces along the way. But the core, the established first five, six players, he was handed that. This is and as was, to a certain extent, Joe Lacob. Was handed the superstars, were in place, and he got them at a discount. KD just said it the other day on First Take, where he said, look, our new contracts were coming to bear. It seemed like a good time to jump. He's right. He's right.
It did stand out. It did stand out when he said that.
I mean, he saw that the worm was about to turn on this team. They couldn't afford to replace. Sean's going. Andre's going. How are we going to replace them? Oh, we're not? Oof. We're in trouble here. And on top of it, see, I thought from the beginning, I was saying, look, they shouldn't shoot for the playoffs. They should get in the lottery. They should try to add a quality young player.
I was more optimistic.
Last summer. Like, there's no value in them just scratching their way into the playoffs. And if you look at the Western Conference, that's what they were going to be doing. I was told last night, I got to verify this, Rick. What's that?
I came more so from a pride standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Have pride in the season. Go, let me know. Let me feel at home that you gave your all. You know, I get you were thinking logical, but I would say as a former player, I said, let me know, Curry, Draymond, you did everything you could do.
They gave me their all for the last 5 years. I'm good. They're paid in full. But here's the issue. This is how effed they are.
Mm.
Their first round pick for next year is apparently Brooklyn gets, it's protected 1 through 20.
So they don't have a first round pick.
So they don't have a first round pick unless they finish below 20th in the scale, 21st or lower. So if it's above that, then no, I'm going to take that back. Let me take that back. I got to double check this. They get it if it's top 20. Otherwise, Brooklyn gets it.
Oh, well, they're getting it.
Yes,
they're getting it. They're going to get their pick down.
But here's my thing. They need to add talent, and they can't do it. They're capped out. They very much need to be in the lottery and get a quality player. And even then, I'm not sure that they're going to get there, because part of that that being capped out is because they gave D'Angelo Russell a max contract. That's where losing Steph really hurts. I don't know that it's going to make a difference. I don't know if you've been watching D'Angelo Russell's watch him play and then watch what the numbers tell you in case you weren't seeing it. His plus minus was minus 35 against the Clippers. It was at one point minus 30 against the Suns. The other team is running roughshod over them when D'Angelo's on the floor. Now, offensively, he's getting a couple things. He's done a couple of clever things. Defensively, he's getting exposed in a big way. The idea that the Warriors are going to flip him into something meaningful, man, I don't see how that happens. Because now he's got to carry the weight. And he ain't carrying that weight. And he's not enough to make Draymond. That's the other thing. What we're finding out with Draymond, and I always kind of knew this, but that team around them is so bad, he can't possibly lead it. There's no way. He's the brains behind the operation. But you need to have players who also have an IQ and have a skill set so that he knows, okay, I can get this out of this guy and this guy, this out of this guy. You look across their roster, I don't know what you're getting. And by the way, for everybody who's, like, everybody's worried about their offense, it's their defense. And Willie Cauley-Stein is not going to help you on their defense. He's a seven-footer. But
they don't have a shot blocker. He's
not a shot blocker. Have you looked at his numbers? He averages 0.6 blocks a game.
Just because a guy doesn't necessarily block shots doesn't mean he doesn't alter shots. They don't have anything.
They don't.
They don't have any. That cupboard is bare as we talk rim protection. So that's why I would say, but I thought he was an excellent pickup. All right, that's a good. But where's the rest of it?
Again, the Kings were not a very good defensive team. And sometimes you can be a big, and because your wings or your point guard are not good, you're constantly having to patch things up, and so you look bad as a result. But his particular defensive rating and the Kings' defensive rating is almost identical. Like, it wasn't as if, at least the numbers are saying that his play was not suffering from the Kings. He was part of that. So I just don't know that he's going to help. You could tell against the Suns, he gave them something just as a finisher at the rim, gave them something that they hadn't had. Kevon Looney, for all that I like about him, he's not that kind of guy. But you look, this is a perimeter-oriented team. I mean, a perimeter-oriented league. And you've got Glenn Robinson III starting at three. Small forward might be the most talented position in the league right now. And
Paul George, yeah.
You've gone from having KD, Andre Iguodala, and Klay Thompson, who you can rotate through that three spot.
Multiple.
To now having, and defend that spot. To now having Glenn Robinson and, I don't know, Damian Lee.
But Rick, whose fault? You're giving me the let, but whose fault is, like, you know what I'm saying? Whose fault is this? How do we get there? Is this a situation where Bob Myers, you did everything you could do? Or is this like, Bob, why didn't you pull some veterans in here?
This was
what's going on.
This is a natural byproduct of their run. One, the injuries are a natural byproduct of that, of the run, and having the cupboard as bare as it is a natural byproduct of the run. Now, I feel as if they got a little cheap on Patrick McCaw. I'm not saying Patrick McCaw would be the solution, but
you knew the system.
That to me was an indicator that you're a little full of yourselves. Because he wasn't asking for the moon. He was asking just for something respectable. And you were
gonna have to
pay a luxury tax on that. But you needed that help.
When I look at the Lakers, I thought Jordan Farmer was that Patrick McCaw. In that they just kind of let him go. Trevor Ariza, they let go. A couple of those guys that would have been playing roles with the Lakers kind of, hey, Kobe, trust these guys. Give them some size. Give them some shots. You know, they held on to Saša Bujačić, and, you know, he gave you what he could. Mm-hmm. But I thought there was a lot that those Laker years, they had a similar type of arrogance. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. This is the other thing.
And they let go of the other kid who played good minutes, McKinney. Correct?
Yeah, but he wasn't very – I mean, he had been okay in the past. He wasn't good in training camp at all. This was his opportunity, and he looked really bad. He looked like a guy who benefited from playing with a lot of talent around him.
Now, Rick, if I've seen you in the finals, right?
Yeah.
Why do I need to see you in the regular season? I mean, not to
okay,
say
but,
it like
but he
that,
wasn't. But he wasn't great in the finals either. That's why
I thought he was solid.
There were opportunities where they needed him to make a shot, and he couldn't make a shot. Or make a play, couldn't make a play. Where all the attention had been drawn someplace else, and he needed to get it done. That's where I thought that they made a big mistake, because Patrick McCaw did demonstrate on the big stage in winning championships
that he could play a role. For the other team too, he made some shots.
Well, he got there. Yeah, I mean that's where he ended up. But he, like, when he was with the Warriors, he answered the bell in a couple of situations where I was like, "Hey, in the finals, this guy did what you needed him to do. That's not easy to find. You need to hold on to that." Here's the other thing, the other mistake they made, and all of this ultimately comes to, you know, I don't know how much Joe Lacob is pressuring Bob Myers, but this is really on Bob Myers. The DeMarcus Cousins signing. You had the mid-level exception. You spent that on DeMarcus Cousins.
Now, we could have been a guy who would have been there.
Could have been a guy who's still there. A young wing. I mean, I thought that they should go after Tyreke Evans. But anyone.
A healthy body. A healthy body on the floor.
Because here's the thing. Even if DeMarcus had helped you, you knew he was gone. If DeMarcus was healthy right now, he wasn't signing back for another 5.8. So it was a rental the whole time. And it was going to be a rental for 3 months.
I don't always get mad at rentals if I can win it. They're in a situation which nobody saw. Let me ask you this, Rick. If the Warriors don't get hurt, KD doesn't get hurt, and half the team doesn't get hurt, and these were world champs last year.
Yeah.
Would you feel this sour right now?
No. But I told you at the beginning of last year, they weren't going to win it. I told you at the beginning of last year.
Can you put an asterisk by that, though?
The bodies were going to break down. I told you that. I told you that physically they were going to break down because I saw them break down the year before.
I credit you because you did say that about you. You called the wrong guy, but you were on point. You called Draymond.
I called the wrong.
He was hampered the whole season, but did call it.
Yeah, and I mean, I said physically I didn't know who was going to beat them, but the team from the East was going to beat them, because unlike the year before, when they got to the finals, they had a Cleveland team that had no chance of beating them. They had already gone through the toughest test. This year, they were going to go through another tough test in the West and then face maybe the best team that they were going to face in the playoffs. They were going to face them in the finals at the end of this run. And I just saw a team over the course of last year that even without the catastrophic injuries, when they needed to put the pedal to the metal, they couldn't. They were just out of gas. They just couldn't summon that kind of effort. And I mean, it played out exactly as I anticipated it, which was as they made their way through the West, every team was going to chip away at them, was going to take something from them. And then they were going to get to the finals, and now they were going to be just sitting ducks for whoever got there. I thought it was going to be Boston. My second choice was Toronto. I think your first choice was Toronto. But that's what happened. So they did what you said. They put all their chips in the middle of the table to win one more championship. I think even the way they handled KD's injury was a matter of, or actually all of the injuries. Like, we're going to play everybody. DeMarcus, every single guy. They said, we're going for broke. We're not worried about long term. We're going to play everybody right now. And now they're paying a heavy price for that. And I'd be okay with that if Joe Lacob in particular acknowledged that. Hey, we went for it. We went for the three-peat. We did some things that are not the way we normally operate, but we were going for the three-peat. We knew this chance was not going to come again. But no, he's acting as if, like, no, we're still rolling. Like, we're still...
You ain't rolling, homie.
We're still contending. And, I mean, they're not just losing. They're getting humiliated. It's embarrassing the way that they're playing right now.
I tell you one thing. The way Golden State will beat you, it stuck with you. It stuck with you as a player, as a coach, as a general manager. They ran up and down and they changed the league so much to where – Rick, I know general managers got to the whatever they were on par to do and just scrapped everything and said, hold on, this is a problem. We have to catch. When you lose by 40 points,
yeah,
and that's what Golden State was doing.
Yeah.
The basketball became too. You lose by, you go, oh, hold on. We need to reevaluate the center position. we were going defense first. Okay, let's look at some three-point shooting. We've got to find a way to counter.
Right.
What's going on?
Right.
Another thing too, Rick.
Well, not only that, but what about the way that they won? What about they weren't just beating people? Look,
bruh.
The Bulls would beat down some people. You walked in, you knew it was an L. You knew it was an L. You just hoped like you could be respectable and competitive, and who knows, maybe they'd have an off night and you could beat them. But you kind of knew what you were up against. But I don't feel like the Bulls, waved it in your face. I feel like the Warriors danced on people. They didn't just beat you. They had a party. They had a Mardi Gras at your expense.
Well, Scotty and Michael gave you the business, but like Golden State would do it like, dang, like Livingston is giving you like 14 and 10, like Iggy, we double off him and he's finals MVP.
Right,
like
that was
the frustrating part. And Iguodala in Livingston, so under, now you see the value.
Absolutely.
And maybe Bob didn't see it. Maybe Lacob didn't see it. Maybe, shoot, even Steph maybe. Well, no, those guys knew. They thicker than thieves. They understood.
Yep.
But it's like, oh, we'll plug this guy in. Whoa, yep. Iguodala was an all-star. Iguodala is close to on par as the second coming of Scottie Pippen because he defends, he rebounds. He wasn't maybe in the star because he came off the bench. He's more of a role player than Scottie. Maybe Scottie was more of a star. But he gave you what you needed. And I'm not putting Iggy on his Philly squad and saying, oh, man, lead me to the playoffs. I'm putting Iggy in with a couple other guys, and now you're rolling, and he's such an intriguing athlete. That's why he turned down more to go to the Kings. He turned that deal to go to the Kings now because it's not for me.
Right.
That's not what I want to do. I want to play good basketball.
He was just using that as leverage. That was the Kings play was strictly a leverage play.
They offered more.
It was reported that they offered more.
Ooh, see that's where Rick Bucher comes in play.
Yeah.
That's where Bucher comes in
play. He needed it bumped up. Let's put it this way. Whatever they offered, he was never going there. He was never going there. They could have offered twice as much. He was not going there.
He was never. Oh.
So here's the other thing that, again, all the, you know, the Twitter experts out there, and I don't want to bang on, you know, social media is what it is. It's entertaining. It's not much more than that. But all the people out there that did not understand what the strength of the Warriors was, which is or was their chemistry and the way these pieces fit together. Individually, I could make the case that maybe Klay Thompson would have been the guy who could have gone anywhere and did what he did. Because he to me, was the most complete two-way player that they had or have. With Steph, and again, Steph would be great, but would Steph be a league MVP? No. Klay was the perfect guy to put next to him, both talent-wise, skill-wise, and personality-wise. Same with Draymond. Adding Andre and Sean, their basketball IQs and their skill levels, like, it was just the perfect mix of guys who complemented each other. That's the essence of what they had. And when you brought KD in, like, that covered
it's
up.
It's over.
Yeah, I mean, again, and what was the proof of the chemistry being the greatest strength of the Warriors is how they made room for KD. They made room for a guy who was not of their ilk. KD was a different cat with a different mentality. And they all moved aside to make room for that guy. Even though they were champions in their own right, they never lost sight of how unique that, like, they knew what made them special. And it wasn't like we're all all-stars and we're all just overpowering players. No, it's our collective understanding that we're willing to sacrifice for each other. And KD, you want to come in? We will sacrifice for you. And you don't have to sacrifice for us. We'll sacrifice for you so that we can win another championship. That was the essence of what made the Warriors.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Great. And the idea, this is where Joe doesn't get it. The idea that he was going to keep that ball rolling, that you didn't have this extraordinary luck that these pieces fit the way they did, that you could plug and play, that a D'Angelo Russell or a Willie Cauley-Stein, you could bring guys, or Jordan Poole, like, yeah, you know, we've got it. Like, we can do it. And I understand the song that Steph and Dre and Klay are singing, which is, we can do it again. We can bring these guys in and we can make them fit. And I'm like,
no, you can't. Yeah.
No, I understand why you think you can, because you've done it for the last 4 or 5 years and you did it with KD. But it was worth it with KD because of his talent. You don't have the same talent. And you don't have the same, these guys don't have the same mentality. Like, I was hearing D'Angelo Russell talk about the opportunity, like what happened at the end now that Steph's hurt. And it was so starkly clear to me that, one, D'Angelo does not know what was here before he got here. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what the Warriors were, and he doesn't have the whatever it is to carry them now. Like, he's a nice guy. He's got some nice offensive talent, but he's just a guy. Like, the idea that he would be part of a championship nucleus, or he's going to carry the water now. He's got no idea. No idea what they're up against.
That's true.
No idea what they were. So that's what I found insulting to the Warriors and what they've been, is to suggest that you could just keep this ball rolling without Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston and Klay Thompson coming back from injury. And, I mean, you name it. And Kevin Durant. No, okay, that talent gone. Like, No, we can still, we're still competitive. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That is so insulting to how uniquely gifted and collectively the mindset that they had. And so now you see it. And it's just, man, I'll tell you what, that new building is a beautiful building. It's in a great spot in San Francisco. Dude, by Christmas, it's going to be a ghost town.
Golly.
There's like, people aren't going to go there just to eat. They're not just going to go there to eat and drink.
And I tell you this, like, when it comes to the Clippers, it was personal. When it comes to a lot of these teams, it's personal. And I want you to know, too, I don't know if we got to talk about this, but I really like Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And I like them in the sense that they match up well. Are they consistent? Are they there yet? Probably not. It all depends on Ricky Rubio. But Ricky Rubio now makes that thing go. But they have pieces that they put together that fit. Now Devin Booker gets the experience of a lifetime playing point guard, and now that's only made him a better two guard.
Yeah.
I really like Phoenix. How much do I like them? Contending? No. Possible spot in the playoffs? Yeah.
They're an interesting team. I'll give you that. I don't know if I'm ready to make them a playoff team. I will say this. I had a chance to talk to a couple guys after they beat the Warriors. And Tyler Johnson and Aaron Baines. And I look at the guys that they brought in, and I thought Tyler made a great point to me. He said, look at all the guys. He goes, Aaron Baines has played in a game 7. Who's their other big? Dario Saric has played in big games with Philadelphia.
You lost Big Fella. You don't even have him back. You have a young David Robinson back, Ayton. We didn't talk about that. Ayton's not. They're doing this without Ayton.
Right. Tyler Johnson played in big games with Miami. Like, you know what they brought in? They brought in a bunch of pros. They brought in a bunch of guys that work hard. And even Baines, after the game, like I said, what's it like to beat the Warriors like as soundly as you did, to be up on them by 30 in the first quarter? And he said, hey, you know, he was very humble about you can't disrespect anybody who's in the NBA. You have to compete and prepare for everybody, or you can get beat by anybody. And Tyler said the same thing. He said, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were taking beatings like this. So we know how quickly it can turn around. That's a great sign. Phoenix is not feeling itself, or at least wasn't like feeling itself last night.
Yeah, that's new for them to talk like that. That's a new language.
Way different. And the other thing Tyler said, which I found really interesting, he said when he first got here last year, because he came in at the end of last year, he said in the timeouts, he goes, be quiet, nobody be talking. He said this year, you're like, you're trying to get the guys shut up. He said that the vibe in the timeouts is completely different. Guys are talking. Guys are trying to figure things out. Last year, it was almost like just sitting there waiting for their marching orders. There was no. He goes, look, if you got to worry about your energy and your effort, your enthusiasm to play, he goes, that's got to be a given. Then it's a matter of how do we appropriately apply it. So I'm with you, Phoenix. I need to see it evolve, and I really need to see Devin Booker evolve. It's going to be on him now, because I thought he developed a lot of bad habits. He's a knockdown shooter, knockdown scorer. I need to see him make the evolution that Steph made, which is, you know what? I got to defend as hard as I go offensively. I got to put it in defensively. Because if your best player isn't your hardest worker, you're always going to be susceptible.
And that's what's really tough when you go out and tank.
Yep.
You teach bad habits.
Yep.
I don't care who you are, it mentally wears on you. Mm-hmm. You're going to say, you know what? I'm going to go get mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to go score.
Yeah.
I'm going to step away with my 30. And the stat sheet don't say I got blown by 5 and 10 times. We don't track those. You don't look at that stat sheet.
And if you did,
man, this guy.
If you did, D'Angelo Russell would be embarrassed because his defense is it's not just mediocre. It's embarrassing.
He doesn't give a darn.
He doesn't give a rat's you know what. He's got a max contract. So anyway. Before we get to, I know you want to talk about the skirmish between Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid, and then you have, like, basically on Twitter, reminiscing with some of your old adversaries about mixing it up. But before we get to that, you know the guy who this is not a blessing in disguise for is Steve Kerr.
Oh no, Steve is sick.
Steve's in a bad way,
sick.
And this is. See, the people are going to take this as a referendum on, oh, I always knew he was overrated. I'm already hearing that. I'm already seeing that on Twitter. Steve Kerr's is, I even heard that, you know, I've heard that from scouts. Like, I never thought Steve was all that. And I'm like, come on, man. Steve navigated a lot of waters. Steve coached 3 championship teams. Like, don't discount what he did. But here's the distinction. Steve learned at the hand of Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson. What do they have in common? They coach championship caliber teams. There's a distinct difference between being a coach who builds programs and a coach who finishes them. And I don't know if I mean, he's having to change in midstream. This, as I said, this is a really bad roster. I don't know that anybody could coach it significantly better. But this isn't what Steve proved himself to be as a coach, is a building guy. They're in a building situation now. And
I mean, Rick, there's a value on a finisher, but, I mean, are you this bad?
They're this bad.
Dude, I'm saying from Steve Kerr. Let me ask you this. Would it be fair to say I value a team that maybe has less in the locker room, but they play hard as heck? So I can see the pieces coming together.
Well, look, they played, I mean, actually they cut the lead to like 11 or 12 last night. The Warriors didn't stop playing. Defensively, they're a mess. And offensively, I actually saw them run some things that are a little bit different, that they were getting shots. Guys were missing layups. Guys were missing at the rim. And they kind of changed up the way they played and the positioning, knowing that they don't have 3-point shooters. They were getting cuts from the weak side and guys getting layups, getting shots at the rim, and they couldn't finish. To me, that's not coaching. If I get you good looks and you can't make them, I can't coach makes.
I agree with that.
And they were the sets were slightly different. So I know that he made some adjustments offensively for his personnel, and they just couldn't make shots. Now defensively, Steph's not a great defender. on his best days. He's an average defender. D'Angelo Russell is a horrific defender.
What makes him horrific?
D'Angelo?
Yes.
He doesn't try.
He just lets guys go. When do you look at Steve Kerr, though? When do you look at Steve Kerr and say, sit his butt on the bench if he doesn't want to defend and hold him accountable? Because it was nice. You never had to go to Iggy and Sean and say, hey, bring on the defensive end. Hey, Draymond. You know what I'm saying?
But this is where it gets tricky, because if they are indeed trying to bump up D'Angelo's value, and by the way, Brooklyn would sit his ass. Kenny Atkins sat him many a fourth quarter.
He absolutely did.
But they're in a different place now. You got a max contract guy, and you're either trying to sell to your fans that he can play, or you're trying to sell to the rest of the league that he can play. So they're in a tough spot there. Now we'll see. It's going to be fascinating, at least for a little while. And then it's just going to be, you don't want to watch it anymore because it's going to be unsightly. Got to give a shout out to Eric Pascal. I think that's how you pronounce it. Pascal. Mm-hmm. The only dude at one point who had, and they were beat, when they were getting beat by 30, 40, whatever it was, he actually had a +6, +/-. That's how hard the dude was working. That's how hard the guy was playing. He's going to become a legend on this Warriors team. It's going to be a really bad Warriors team, but Warriors fans are the kind that appreciate guys like Eric Pascal.
Mm.
He's a no-name dude who just plays really hard. I want to say he had as many points as D'Angelo did last night, maybe more. Obviously, I think he played more minutes down the stretch, but maybe not. I haven't looked at the box score, but at one point he was right there with him.
That's big.
In any event. All right, so for those who don't know, Philadelphia was running the Minnesota Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid kind of got tied up as the ball went the other direction in the third quarter. Next thing we know, we got a full-on wrestling match. Full-on wrestling match between the two.
I don't think
there were any punches thrown. I think it was total.
Yeah, there was an attempt from Karl Anthony Towns.
Was there? Okay. And then the next thing I saw was like Ben Simmons choking him, like had him pinned to the floor and had his arm wrapped around him. Now the Sixers are disputing what he was doing, but at one point it looked like he was trying to choke him out. In any event, because you then subsequently on Twitter reminisced with Kendrick Perkins and Channing Frye. I don't know if there was anybody else, but how you were an instigator and how you mixed it up with everybody. I got to tell you, Ryan, this had a different feel. It was passion, but like I've seen guys go at it. This really felt more like a wrestling match than a fight. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Absolutely. Well, let me give my take. Yes. I fully agree with you. Because in the NBA, you can't really fight anyways. First off, I said, these are two great guys. These are two good kids, man. And I don't want this to be someone's first impression of who they are. And a lot of times you make the news for things like this. And I want that to be clear. Because a lot of people, they're going to make their assumptions. And you are a role model as an NBA player. So that's not the image you want portrayed. Now, it has no place in basketball. That's not what the league wants portrayed. That's not what the league is about. There's going to be some penalties that come down. And my colleagues, Matt Barnes, Kendrick Perkins, and Channing Frye, they got a little excited. It was, whoa, whoa, what? Heck, not from you, Ryan. Out of all people, not from you. You're not going to downplay this. You're not going to say nothing back. You have your GD nerve, okay? That was what those guys want to express to me.
Mm.
And I said, guys, read my context. Me and you and guys who play Division I ball, guys like you, Rick, who are in the fold, in the locker rooms, in the meat and potatoes of it, understand. And you say, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, okay? Right. This happens all the time. It's quite common. If you go watch a pickup run, you probably see some guys tangle up. You probably tangle up with someone at 24-hour fitness, and you can play the next – it's no big deal.
Yep.
When you look at social media, you see that landscape. People are blowing this thing so far out of context, yeah. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
So we've got to make sure we protect our league. Everybody, you ain't a basketball player if you ain't wrapped up with somebody in practice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what we just saw, a guy jumping in. This was nothing, bro. This was nothing. But average fan at home doesn't understand that.
Right.
So my message wasn't that Ryan Hollins hadn't been capable of some of these things, that you can't go find this on the internet or in practice or
right.
some of my colleagues that hopped all over me. But let's keep it in the right context. Let's make sure we talk to our fans who understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So that was the fun behind it, Rick. But I mean, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Well, and here's the thing too, is the shots that they're taking at each other, those two guys are taking at each other on social media, is a reflection of what this is. Like, that physical back and forth was just a physical version of trash talk. They weren't really trying to hurt each other. They were trying to get over on each other. That's why Joel Embiid, and I haven't seen him talk about this, but the way he reacted on the floor immediately afterward was the suggestion, I pinned him. I got the better of him. Like,
nobody want to look bad.
Right? That's what it was. Like, I'm trying to, they could have been arm wrestling. They could have been thumb wrestling.
It would have
been,
bad.
Got you. Right? Or they could have done. They could have played slaps. Like, that's what that was. This wasn't, I'm trying to take you down. I'm trying to knock you out. That was not the tenor of that. Again, it was a wrestling match. Like, these dudes got tangled up, and then it was, oh, you're going to act like I was the one in it? No, you're going to. And I look, all the players ran down there and ended up being a skirmish, but it was, to me, Ryan, it had a completely different feel than, say, what was it?
The Knicks, Miami,
the Jeff Van Gundy. Like, that was, guys were looking to punk somebody. Or when Rondo and Chris Paul went nose to nose. Like,
yeah,
that
That
was real. That's like, I don't like you, and I'll spit in your face. Let's throw down. I've seen it multiple times. This was not that. If there was ever a good-natured brawl, that's what that was.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the social media era, and these guys don't understand. They want the upper hand because everybody's tweeting them. They're in their DMs right now. They're excited. They both cost themselves a lot of games and money.
Yeah.
And Philly they're going to be fine with or without Embiid because Horford's there getting the playoffs. But Karl Anthony Towns can't afford this. But Karl Anthony Towns has to deal with a lot of bullying and frustrating talk. And he's in a lose-lose situation. I say that in the sense that on social media now, when there's a narrative around you, you get harassed.
So what's the narrative around Karl Anthony Towns?
There's a social media narrative that says he's softer than anything, tissue paper.
Yeah.
This story from, you know, Jimmy Butler running the team and Jimmy didn't want to be there. It has destroyed Karl Anthony Towns' name, and that's the name that's put on. Common guy, and even for a young guy in the league, because I didn't understand this, for one, what is tough? I don't know. You got to figure out what tough is. Because guess what? To a guy on the street corner, tough means like, hey, man, you step on my shoe, we're going to scrap.
Mm-hmm.
For an NBA player, toughness is getting a big rebound because you're not a fighter. You're not an average Joe on the street. And if you act as such, you're going to be fined and penalized. And at a certain point, you won't be playing in the NBA if that's how you think you're going to handle things. Now, there is a time and place where you got to put your foot down. But he had been abused so much online and let the tension build up that he finally acted out. and it's going to cost them. And for a young guy, I also had to learn what toughness meant and where and when I needed to be tough. But that's not it.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. And just for clarification, yes, the Warriors 2020 pick is protected 1 through 20. So if they don't, if they don't finish in the top 20 in the draft selection, then the pick goes to Brooklyn as part of the D'Angelo Russell, Kevin Durant sign and trade deal. So they should have been angling for the lottery from the very, it should have never been a question that that's what they're doing, because otherwise they don't have a pick next year. And quite clearly, they need to add a pick. They need to have a first round pick, because it's the only way they're going to be able to add any talent.
And there's also a level of, hey, let's look this in perspective. There was a lot of pressure to do well in this new building.
Yes. But
and instead of going all in on the first year, you might have been thinking about years, you know, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yes.
It just had a decent year.
Yes.
In you the can, new building.
Well, and here, look, it is a nice new build. I mean, it really is. It's a very cool venue. My hat's off to Rick Welts, who led the charge on making that happen. But so you have, I think you have a little bit of grace this year. Not now, if they're as bad as they look as they're going to be, then you don't have grace. But if they had just been, you know, they didn't have to play for a championship, and people would have come out and checked out the new building and checked them out and checked D'Angelo Russell out, I think they could have survived.
Let me ask you this, and I think I'm in harmony with the answers. I think we're thinking the same. Why do people always, Warriors lifers, why do they support the Warriors?
Well,
what was the image, the culture of why they were supported, other than just being Bay Area natives?
They've always been entertaining, and they've always been it's high flying basketball. That's been the heart of it.
And they play hard. They give you,
yeah.
They get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it was
yeah.
something you can get by. They're not giving you nothing to get behind.
No. Well, and it's also like this is where the move from Oakland. I'm sorry, man, but they embodied the Oakland spirit, and they embodied the Oakland spirit in the Bay Area. San Francisco is a different thing. I'm watching the people walking in
because
the prices are much higher, and you're obviously you're on the peninsula. You know, you're geographically you're in a different place. Like it's not the same fan that's going to be there. I swear, last night they screwed up, and you could tell that they were piping in noise. They had a chant go up, and it was synced off of the fans chanting, and you heard a Warriors chant, and one was recorded, and the other was not. And
you're kidding me?
No, I'm not. And I thought, oh my goodness, they're pumping in.
They played
they're pumping
a fake
in noise.
Chant?
Yeah, they're pumping in noise. So. Again,
bro.
Yeah, it's this is going to be really interesting.
Oh.
All right, that we've given you bonus material today.
Oh.
We've gone longer than
Did
usual.
Did you tweet that?
What's that?
Did you tweet that out?
Have not. I need to do a little more investigation. I don't want to just cast aspersions.
Okay,
on Twitter. That's something where
you're hearing the disclaimer. We're not sure.
You got
to pay.
Yeah.
But it don't sound good.
I'm going to go to the games this weekend. And if I hear it again, and if I can find, well, I shouldn't give away how I find these things out, but I'm going to do a little investigation. See if I can find it out. So, all right. That does it. Don't forget to rate the podcast, rate and review us wherever you get your podcast, iTunes or wherever. And then if you want to be eligible for a prize, and the prize that we're giving away now is a copy of my book with Yao Ming, with everything going on with the China and the NBA. I think it'll be very interesting for any of you who still read to take a look. Send you a free autographed copy of that book.
Is this Yao's autograph or just yours too?
I'm working on the Yao part of it.
Okay,
so you would definitely get mine. And possibly get Yao's as well.
Possibly Yao. That's a plug
right
there.
I I actually have a copy of the book with Yao's autograph. So I could, but it's my only copy with Yao's autograph. I'm not willing to give that up.
Yeah, no, don't worry. We can work around that, baby. We can work around that, Rick.
All right. So, screenshot that review and send it to @BucherFriends, and you will be eligible potentially for that copy. All right. In the next podcast, I'm not sure what's going to happen in the next podcast. Hopefully, we'll be able to catch up with Will Blackman and get all of his NFL insight. If not, it will be an episode of Bucher Friendless. And then I do have a couple of guests coming on, guests that I think you'll be very interested in hearing from. All that coming up. In the meantime, for Ryan, for myself, as always, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.